From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, September 25th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Whoa. Well, of course. That's why most of us don't know if we're coming or going. Let's move along to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Here we go.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Really?
Some cool, some not so cool.
How exciting.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
If you say so.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, right. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1915... During World War I, the second battle of Champagne began. No word here on how it turned out, but I had a battle with Champagne once. I lost. And it was on this day in 1977, about 4,200 people took part in the first running of the Chicago Marathon. Not one of the participants got mugged because they were accustomed to running. After all, it was Chicago.
Help me! Help me!
Brian Chai, writing in Western Journal, the Western Journal, great publication, said that some may dismiss this as little more than a son's frustration, but Donald Trump Jr. is spot on with his critique of a reckless decision from President Joe Biden's Department of Justice. Now, as I say, Joe Biden's Department of Justice, I would like to emphasize who's the head of the DOJ, Merrick Garland. A very hateful, very partisan player in our government. So in a Monday report from the Daily Wire, another great publication you can trust, good organization, they're headquartered out of Nashville these days, Trump excoriated the DOJ's decision to release that deranged letter from would-be assassin Ryan Wesley Ruth. I keep calling him Ruth, but it's spelled R-O-U-T-H. It's like South with an R, so let's call him Ralph. Anyhow, on September 15th, Ruth Ralph was apprehended after he was spotted laying in wait in the golf course. You know that whole story, right? Well, Ruth or Ralph faces a potential 20 years in prison on gun charges alone. Okay, so he will be locked up. He'll be locked up for a good time. There seems to be some doubt brought forward by none other than Alan Dershowitz as to whether or not the government really can try to prosecute him on attempted assassination charges. Because here again, that would play to anyone understanding, anybody being able to read the mind of this guy. But this letter, I think, points out, I mean, if nothing else, a sheer admission on the part of this guy, Ralph, that he intended to kill Donald Trump. So, given Ralph's well-documented anti-Trump sentiments, most people could probably assume why this guy, who was clearly disturbed, was trying to kill Donald Trump. And it's probably where it should have been left. You know, assumptions, allegations. But no. Biden's DOJ, which, by the way, has a history, you know, 4-year history of making bad decisions. I'm trying to prosecute and lock up 89-year-old grandmothers for standing in front of an abortion clinic. That kind of thing. So after apologizing for failing in his endeavor, this guy, Ralph, in his letter, included a curious tidbit about offering $150,000 for anyone who was successful in assassinating Trump. So the DOJ releases this letter. I mean, this is a letter that contains a lot of deeply disturbing stuff. And now the DOJ pulls this. Well, so it's understandable why Donald Trump Jr. would be so angry over this. But enter another figure from government's past, former Attorney General Bill Barr, dumbfounded that the DOJ would release this Routh letter. And he explained in a statement, Bill Barr did, explained in a statement to Fox News the decision to release the contents of this letter was a rash one in light of the two assassination attempts on Trump. He said, I was dumbfounded that the DOJ made public this morning the contents of the letter that Ryan Routh left with an acquaintance prior to the attempted assassination of former President Trump. And Barr added that releasing the letter served no purpose other than to risk inciting further violence. And then pointed out that the DOJ could have redacted inflammatory material in the letter, which you know they would have done if an attempt had been made on Kamala Harris' life, right? So this goes back to what I just said. This Biden DOJ has a history of making bad decisions. Choosing between right and wrong, they always choose wrong. Well, this is done because it's calculated on their part. They are partisan hacks in the DOJ, led by Merrick Garland. I think Merrick Garland should be in jail. But that's the extremist side of me. I think probably it would be better if somebody somehow could just organize a plan to have Merrick Garland's career totally destroyed. But Barr added that releasing the letter served no purpose other than to risk inciting further violence, which is the very same argument that Donald Trump Jr. is making. So Barr said, even if DOJ thought it important to provide the letter to the court, it could have redacted inflammatory material or arranged to have the letter submitted under seal. It was rash to put out this letter in the midst of an election during which two attempts on the life of President Trump had been made. So what's exactly going on here? It's partisan politics. Nothing more, nothing less. Partisan politics. The DOJ is actively campaigning to have Donald Trump removed. And I think you know the context in which I'm using the word removed. It's stunning. And I would add unprecedented. I've been walking the planet for more than 70 years. I started watching politics in 1960. With the Nixon-Kennedy debate or campaign. I remember so much of that stuff, too. I really do. Used to spend a lot of time in the car with my dad. He'd go out on errands on Saturdays. I'd ride along with him because I loved riding in the car, and he would be listening to WJR out of Detroit, which was a big news talk station at the time. And, you know, would listen to the sound bites of the Kennedy-Nixon campaign. My parents were pro-Nixon at the time. And I also used to watch, when I get home from school, I would watch the press conferences that JFK would hold after he became president. He was really pretty good at addressing the press, answering questions. And he had a sense of humor, too, that I enjoyed. So I sat and watched. I don't know what, just had this interest in politics all through the 1960s. And the older I got, I mean, by the time 1966, 67 rolled around, and it was obvious that this thing going on in Vietnam wasn't good, I started watching politics even closer. Well, what has gone on? What has occurred since Joe Biden's been in the White House? And he's not really running the White House. We all know this. I mean, it's only the brain dead don't know that Joe Biden's not running the White House, and neither is Kamala Harris. But they have to get Kamala Harris elected, though, they being the deep state. There are some known 700 people within the deep state. And we've got a few citizen journalists who are in the process right now of putting names to these people in the deep state. I think it's pretty obvious that Liz and Dick Cheney are members of the deep state. So we're really at the mercy of the deep state right now. So this incident where the DOJ published this letter from Ryan Wesley Routh threatening the life of Donald Trump and putting up $150,000, probably money he didn't have, but offering $150,000 for anyone who successfully kills Donald Trump. I mean, this is unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever taken place in any previous DOJ, any previous administration. And from that point alone, we should all be stunned. Anytime and every time that you hear the rhetoric coming from the left about what a danger Donald Trump is to the nation's democracy, what you need to do is just substitute names. When they say Trump is a danger to democracy, just substitute Harris for Trump, because that's the truth. And I would like to display that for you right now. Christina Wong over at Breitbart writes that more than 700 members of the deep state, a mixture of high, medium, and low-ranking government officials and staffers, signed a letter endorsing Harris. And this went down on Sunday. Now, this is a move reminiscent of that letter of 51 former intelligence officials. Remember that one that they signed claiming the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation? In fact, some of the signatories of the new letter also signed the Hunter Biden laptop letter, like former Obama CIA director John Brennan, a man who is truly evil. Brennan is evil. He's a card-carrying commie. And retired Air Force General Michael Hayden, who is also evil. These are evil people freely moving about our government through the deep state. Other signatories in the new letter include Trump haters, Alexander Vindman, also evil, former Ukrainian-American National Security Council staffer and retired Army Lieutenant Colonel. This guy Vindman sparked that second impeachment of former President Trump, and Malcolm Nance, a frequent commentator on the far-left MSNBC and a retired U.S. Navy senior chief petty officer who became involved in questionable volunteer efforts in Ukraine that should be looked into but won't be, at least not under this administration. Few Republicans, too, like Obama's former defense secretary Chuck Hagel. Yeah, his signature's on the letter, united with Democrats in their hatred of Trump. The letter claimed that Harris has proven she's an effective leader able to advance American national security interests, which, of course, is pure bullcorn. Now, the letter didn't delve into any specifics, only saying her relentless diplomacy with allies around the globe preserved a united front in support of Ukraine's fight against Russian aggression. She grasps the reality of American military deterrence, promising to preserve the American military status as the most lethal force in the world. Now, we all know this is bullcorn. They're talking about Harris, but who they're really talking about in the letter is the deep state, or should I say are the deep state, the 700-plus people who make up the deep state. They're talking about themselves, but they're holding Harris up as the ornament for the deep state. Here, this is your president, Kamala Harris. She's not the president, no more than Joe Biden is the president. They're merely the puppets of the deep state. It's like that meme that I posted on Facebook the other day. And it's just the White House logo, and above that I wrote, "At this moment, no elected officials are in charge of the White House." I used it as the banner for the blogcast on my website as well. And it's a truth. It's a truth we need to be incredibly aware of. You need to take that knowledge into the voting booth with you in November. The White House is not being run by any elected officials. And it hasn't been. You think Joe Biden's been making these decisions? The deep state has. Now, naturally, the letter didn't mention her disastrous role in the Afghanistan withdrawal. But I don't think she had much of a role in that at all. I think it was more Joe Biden. And here again, Joe Biden would not have made that decision by himself. It had to have the approval of the deep state. The deep state is out to destroy this nation. The nation that's supposed to be represented by our Constitution. The deep state is out to destroy us. Please understand this. So, meanwhile, the letter's signatories spend a lot more space arguing why they oppose Trump, claiming that Trump duly elected president endangers America's democratic ideals. And as they go on this little rant, I keep thinking, where do they get this? So let me read part of it here to you. It says, Mr. Trump threatens our democratic system. He has said so himself. He has called for the termination of parts of the Constitution. False. He said he wants to be a dictator. No, he did say that, but he said it tongue in cheek. And his clarification that he would only be a dictator for a day is not reassuring. So you can see what's at hand here. You have the deep state yelling, the sky's falling. Now, a Trump campaign spokesman Stephen Chung said in a statement to Axios that the signatories are the same people who got our country into endless foreign wars and profited off of them handsomely while the American people suffered. And he added that Trump is the only president in the modern era not to get our country into any new wars. Can we remember that? In case you missed it, Julia Roberts, was one of the many Hollywood celebrities who appeared during Oprah Winfrey's free commercial last week for Harris. But during her message, Roberts seemed to accidentally admit that people in foreign nations think Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have ruined America. So Julia remarked that she gets to travel overseas a lot, but when she does, she's meeting people who seem to worry that the USA is not doing very well. She explained that she wants people she meets overseas to be excited that she's American. She said, I want people to say, oh, you're American? And then she went on to add, not, oh, how's it going over there? And apparently when they say things like this, it's done in a tone that implies that the foreigners she's meeting feel that America is not doing well. And we're not. She concluded, noting that she wants foreigners to be excited by her American citizenship. She says, I want to get back to that space. Wow. Quite an admission. But who's been leading the nation for the last 4 years? Who's leading the nation to cause foreigners to feel so bad for Americans? And, you know the answer to that as well as I do. Further, except for only a few brief respites, Democrats have held a lock on power over the country since Nancy Pelosi rode to the speaker's chair in 2007. Republicans have had nowhere near the lock on power that Democrats have had in Washington over the last 16 years. And whether she meant to or not, Julia Roberts' comment highlighted the near two decades of failed Democrat leadership in the U.S. Now, you know as well as I do that Democrats are poison. They are to the nation what Roundup weed killer is to your lawn. If you happen to spread that stuff over the entire lawn, not only does it kill your grass, but it endangers you. You may get cancer from it. Well, that's what this Democrat Party is doing to our nation. So Roberts wasn't only expressing frustration at Oprah's event. Even Oprah herself seemed a bit exasperated by the non-answers. I mentioned it the other day. I wondered whether or not when Oprah got home from the studio that evening, if she just slapped her forehead with the palm of her hand and said, "Lord, what have I done?" Because these non-answers, this word salad that Harris was doling out, and it got worse the deeper they got into the show. I don't know. It was more than a donation in kind to this program is more than a donation in kind to Harris's campaign. It certainly wasn't a news event, but it was really interesting to watch Oprah's face during that show. I will say this. She gave an almost Oscar-worthy performance in appearing to look interested in what Kamala was saying, but you could see it in Oprah's eyes. It wasn't going well. Not at all. And, wow, I'm glad I got this. Glad I remembered this, that Oprah seemed particularly annoyed with Harris's reply about the Biden administration's wide-open border policies. Because an audience member asked Harris for her specific steps for strengthening the border, and then Harris launched into a minutes-long word salad answer that was so bad, Oprah actually had to jump in to rescue Harris and tell the audience what Harris really meant. And that was the part of the show where, you know, I wondered if I didn't see it live. I saw it on a delayed basis the next day. But that's what prompted me to say, I wonder if when Oprah got home from the studio that night, she slapped her forehead with the palm of her hand and said to herself, "Lord, what have I done?" I mean, all this talk about Donald Trump being a threat to our democracy? Harris and the deep state in particular, because you know that's why Harris is being pushed. Because they know that Harris is an empty pantsuit. And that's what they need. They, the deep state, they need an empty pantsuit to order around. And they know that she will very obediently carry out what the deep state wants. And the deep state wants World War III. The deep state wants to kill the American middle class. And you see, the problem with the deep state is you've got over 700 people to purge. How do you go about that task? How do you go about that? If it can be done, I think the only person who can do it would be Donald Trump. FYI, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's bashing President Trump and J.D. Vance, attacking them in American media outlets and touring an ammunition factory in Pennsylvania, did so Sunday, reportedly arriving there at the taxpayers' expense on an Air Force jet. Now, The New Yorker, which is a left-wing publication, has an exhaustive piece on Zelensky penned by Joshua Yaffa. And in that article, it stated that the Ukrainian leader speaks with the urgency of a leader who knows that he may be facing his last best chance for substantial foreign assistance as President Biden's presidential term is coming to an end. Now, the Q&A in the piece is revealing. As Zelensky openly attacks Trump, asserting that he doesn't really know how to stop the war, even if he might think he knows how. Now, I'm gonna just kind of interject here that this is where Zelensky is spitting in his mess kit. Because Trump more than likely will win. And Zelensky, like it or not, is going to have to deal with Trump. So then Zelensky says, "With this war, oftentimes the deeper you look at it, the less you understand. I've seen many leaders who were convinced they knew how to end it tomorrow. And as they waded deeper into it, they realized it's not that simple." And then he went on to rip J.D. Vance as being too radical. And the New Yorker asked Zelensky, "Vance has come out with a more precise plan to give up our territory or your territories." And Zelensky says, "Your words, not mine, but yes, that's the gist of it." So, I don't know. It'd be one thing if these were just interviews, but according to reports, Zelensky who's been busying himself criticizing the Republican ticket for president, flew into the United States, toured an ammunition factory in the key swing state of Pennsylvania on Sunday. Further, it seems he arrived to the facility on an Air Force C-17 jet. In other words, he arrived on the U.S. taxpayers' dime. We paid for this. So, his message, Zelensky's message, seems to be that Ukraine must make a sacrifice. So this brings us back to the question of the cost and who shoulders it. Well, we all know the answer to that, right? You and I do. Here again, when it comes to this, pardon the expression, pissing match between the Biden administration and the Trump team, I want you to start paying more attention to Tulsi Gabbard and what she has to say about this. And what I said about this back when we started to get involved with Ukraine. And back in those days, when we were getting ready to get involved with Ukraine on this thing with the Russian incursion or invasion, I was pointing to the things that Tucker Carlson was saying about it, because Tucker was right. Tucker and Tulsi are in complete agreement about this. Ukraine was never our problem. Now, remember what Ukraine was up to prior to Russia going in. And I'm not defending Russia. Please understand that. I'm not defending Russia at all. But Ukraine was one of the most corrupt governments on the planet at the time. They had to be if they were going to hire Hunter Biden, right? So let's put two and two together, and instead of getting five, let's get four, and then let's act on it. You've got to help get Donald Trump into the White House. Let's head on over to the Comedy Corner, not a moment too soon, I might add, with Dan Mangini.
Real quick, I'm not selling any CDs tonight, but if you give me $10, I'll ride home with you and tell jokes. Thanks for getting that. Here's the deal. I do comedy because I have what they call an overactive brain, y'all. Don't make me smart. Just causes a lot of fear in my life. Doctors have told me that from now on, when I travel, when I fly, take Xanax. Right, for those of you that don't know what that does, before, when I was on a plane flying through a storm, I would think, oh my gosh, we're all gonna die. But now, on a plane in a storm, I look around and go, woo, glad I'm not on this plane. These people gonna crash! I'm just gonna get my taxes done. I gotta tell you, man, being on stage, dream come true. When I was little, I told my parents, who are really, really funny, I said, Mom, Dad, when I grow up, I wanna be a comedian or a model. So one day, they gave me this huge mirror and said, Son, look, start telling jokes. My parents are hilarious, y'all. I was raised in America, true story, but my father, check it out, Italian, his name Enzo. When I was 21, he goes, oh, you ever drink too much, don't drive, I pick you up. You ever drink too much, don't drive, I pick you up. That night, me and the boys were like, hey, Pops, we're hammered. He said, oh, yeah? Me too. Be there in 20 minutes. Italian. Now, my mama, check this out. My mom's from England, but she speaks fluent Italian. That'll blow your mind, because the voice don't match the face. The last time I saw something that weird is when I walked into a pet store. A parrot, a bird on a piece of wood looked me right in the face and went, meow. My mom is hilarious. She doesn't even know it. You know what I mean? Years ago, watching a football game with her, national TV. Halfway through it, streaker, white guy wearing nothing but his underwear, ran from one end zone all the way to the other. Nobody knew what to say. The announcers were stunned. And my mama goes, good gosh, did you see how fast he was? No, ma'am, we're staring at his butt. Great childhood, I really did, but 3 years ago, Mom and Dad got a divorce. Sad, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the funny thing. They called it quits in their 80s. We're like, what? That's like being 29 years into a 30-year home loan and going, hey, let's refinance.
Make it a truly wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. You be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.